Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media site that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
Thank you for coming to Waterhouse Church today. I hope you've been blessed already today. If you're a mom, we just want to recognize you. Can you go and stand up and we're going to just applaud you for being a mom. Man, thank you. Thank you, mom. Thank you so much. What you do is not unseen. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And so today's going to be a little different. You can have a seat. Sorry. You can have a seat. Y'all can have a seat too. Y'all can have a seat. Then. This is going to be a little different. Today we're doing a panel, and these women have so much to share this morning. We ran through this a couple days ago, and the wisdom that they had was so amazing. And so, men, don't check out because you see just a bunch of women up here. What they were saying, it blew me away. And what they were saying really encouraged me as a man, not only as a husband, but as a dad. And just as a man of God. And so it doesn't matter where your walk of faith is. I mean, where your walk is. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're not a parent. You can still learn something from these people because they have something to give and they have something to share. I think of the verse in Titus where Paul's reminding Titus to encourage the older women to teach the younger women. And today, they may not be older than you, but there's a little wisdom here and they're going to teach you today. And so I'm going to hand off these microphones. Kind of split it up here. And so we're going to walk around, we're going to ask some questions, and they're going to give us some wisdom, and it's going to be so good today. The first question I have for all of you, so we can get to know you, is this. So say your name, and then what is your mom's superpower?
Hi, I'm Kayla. I wasn't really sure right off the bat what mine was, so I asked my husband, and he was like, stains, I guess? Stains? I can get stains out of just about anything. Oh, getting them out. Getting them out. I try my hardest not to make stains or let my kids make stains, but it happens. It's just part of life. But, yeah, getting stains out of clothes.
That's a good one.
I'm terrible at that, so I really appreciate that. My name is Lucy, and my mom's superpower is making something out of nothing.
Yes. It's a good one.
My name is Jessica, and... my daughter says that my superpower is mind reading.
I'm Cassie, and I asked Emma as well, my daughter, and she said that my superpower is multitasking, and I'm resilient, and I'm a fierce protector.
That's good.
I'm Ellie Broughton, and my son, John, says that I have the ability to sense emotions and change emotions. And I guess that's from the Guardians of the Galaxy. I've not seen the movie, but that's what he said.
I'm Karen Bastable, and I asked my sister, because I get to lovingly aunt people instead of mother. And so my aunt superpower is consistency. So I say what I'm going to, I do what I'm going to say, or say what I do, whatever it is.
Hi, I'm Rachel. And when I asked Ash what my mom's superpower was, I didn't like her first answer. So we're going to go with this answer. So she said that I am Spider Woman because I can catch things before they fall, and I'm always holding onto my coffee cup.
Yeah. Good.
That's good. I'm Debbie Rowe, and I asked my kids, too, what my mom's superpower was. And one of them said that I always knew when they spent money. So, like, they would spend money, and I would call them the second layer and say, what are you doing there? And In my defense, I work at a bank, and at the time, I saw their accounts. But now they're adults. I don't look at their accounts now. So they're adults. I don't care where they spend their money.
That's yeah, true. It's true. I couldn't get away with it either. So, I was like, what are you doing? Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I don't have a superpower because I'm a guy. But, so those are all awesome. Those are all awesome. I have a question for a couple of women in the room. If you could encourage a younger mom, what would you say? If you could encourage them, I'll ask Lucy first.
I would say that all the little things matter. The things that you don't think are going to reap much of a harvest. The Lord takes our little, our fish and loaves, what it is we can give. And when you're younger and your kids are younger, it's not, you feel like it's not much. And everything can feel like a fight. And the Lord somehow, in his way, takes that and reaps such a harvest for you. And the second thing I would say is that the greatest gift you can give your kids and the greatest way you can influence their life is by having your own personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes. So good. That's so good. Ellie, same question to you, ma'am. How could you encourage a younger woman?
Well, a practical tool that I thought of was before you react to a situation out of maybe anxiety or feelings or emotions is to take 3 deep breaths and ask the Lord to help you, because he will.
It's good. It's good. And Rachel, same question.
So moms, just remember that God loves your precious babies more than you do. It's hard to fathom, but he does. And so don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just love them. And remember, you're not messing them up.
It's good.
So good. So good. So nowadays, you know, everybody talks about boundaries, and there are so many things pressuring our kids at school or out in the world. So what boundaries have you set to protect your family's spiritual health? And we're going to start with Rachel on that one.
So I'm going to kind of go from more of a perspective of ministry, but don't check out, because to me it applies to everyone, not just ministry. But I know a lot of people are feeling called into ministry, so I wanted to give a little bit of wisdom in that. So honestly, one of the biggest things that I've had to learn, and of course I had to do it the hard way, is that not everything I carry in ministry is meant for my kids to carry. Ministry can get messy. There are hard conversations, hurt, spiritual battles, and I had to realize, once again, the hard way, that just because I'm called to walk through that doesn't mean that my kids are. So Brad and I have really been trying to be intentional about boundaries. We tried to not process church conflict or hurt at home in front of Ashlyn. She can't fix it, and it's not fair for us to talk about it in front of her, because then she feels like she needs to fix it. And I'll be honest, there have been moments I didn't do it right, guys. Times I shared too much, or I let stress spill over, and the Lord checked my heart. And in those moments, I've had to go back to my kids, and I've had to ask their forgiveness and been honest with them. And that's been humbling, but it's also been important, because it shows them what it looks like to walk with Jesus, even when I mess up.
So good.
That is so good. That is so good. Thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable. Lucy, same question. What boundaries have you set to protect your family's spiritual health?
One really practical one is just how we prioritize Sundays, that it's for church. And actually, my daughter today is not here. I was thinking it's funny. Because when they were growing up, it was if there's a sport and it's on Sunday, we're not doing it. If you're applying for a job and they have you work on Sundays, you're not taking that. And today she's at lifeguard training. And I was kind of chuckling about it to myself. And I didn't see her all day yesterday, because she was there all day yesterday too. And she, last night, we were kind of getting ready, and she was all teary-eyed. And I was like, what is wrong? What's happening? And she was like, I don't get to go to church tomorrow. And so this is not perfection again. This is not about perfection. It's about devotion.
It's good.
And so for her to have those genuine tears, because we never in our family made church it's the thing to check to get to the rest of the week. This is the main part. Yeah. of the week. This sets us up. So I would say that. And then also, oh, this one's really hard, but being mindful of what you're allowing in your home through movies, music. Some of us need to change the station in Jesus' name. Amen. And us too, as parents. And like the sooner your kids realize and they tell you, my friends are allowed to end this, and they have, don't care. You're different. And it's a privilege that you're different. And I used to try to cover up and not make them feel different. And one day the Lord checked me. This is why your own personal relationship with the Lord, one of the benefits. He checked me and was like, the more you try and make them feel normal, you're robbing them of the sparkliness of life with me. And that it is a beautiful thing. It's not something to shy away from and try and pretend we're normal and cover up. No, we're not normal. And I don't want to be normal. So,
amen.
So good. Thank you so much. Thank you. Kayla, being a young mom, what kind of wisdom, what boundaries have you set to protect your family's spiritual health?
So on top of what Lucy has said with the things of the world, what you allow into your home, it's the things that your children see through their friends, through media, through all of that, the things that we bring into our home. I have a four-year-old, and so we've been working on attitude. So the attitude that he brings into the home, I'm one of the gatekeepers of the home, me and my husband. There are attitudes that I cannot allow him to have because they're not good for him. They're not of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He will have the attitude that the Lord says we will have to have. And I have to hold those boundaries. So lots of hard conversations. Kiddo, you have to say sorry. You have to say sorry. I can't let you move on until you say sorry. And so just holding those relational, emotional, attitude boundaries.
That's so good. And I'm going to tag on to that too. That is so good that all you guys had great wisdom. And something else we do too is just protecting certain times, like dinner time, the dinner table. We eat dinner at the table. And now that the kids are all grown and gone, when they're home, we all eat at the table. We have open, share conversations. We talk. And that's sometimes where the best counseling is at the table. So other times we, at nighttime, when they were all still living at home, they'd come pile on our bed at night sometimes. And, you know, it's like, hey, what's up? You know, and just, you know, that's when they would talk about their days, and just guarding that time as well, yeah. I think is really good.
Yeah, I miss those days. They're a little too big to fit in the bed now. Those are good days. Yeah. Yeah, so such great wisdom, such great wisdom. Ephesians 5:31 says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So marriage and children have its own thing. Like, you have your life with your kids, but then you have your life with your spouse. And so how do you prioritize your marriage while raising children? Some of you are in different areas, and kids are big, small, small, big. But how do you prioritize your marriage? First question is for Cassie.
So my situation is a little different because I'm a bonus mom. And so we have Emma every other weekend, and then we have her some in the summer. So Tim and I have a lot of time, you know, together where we can have our alone time, we can have our date nights, or we go away. So the ways that I do is we honor the weekends that we have Emma. And for me, that's realizing, as a bonus mom, that relationship with my husband and his daughter is important. So I try to honor the time and give them time to build and nurture that relationship. And also loving her like she's my own, because part of prioritizing my marriage to my husband is loving his child, because he chose me to be a mom to his daughter. And so one of those ways is I have to love her to show my love and respect for my husband as well. And then also when she's here, we also try to have our weekends family focused. Like when she's here, Tim and I won't plan things like outside of her, because we don't get that much time with her anyway. So that's another way, is just allowing us to have that time and not trying to come in between. And also the last thing for me is just having a good relationship with Emma's mom, so that we can co-parent together, and also just to show Emma that we can work together as a co-parenting team and do things that are good and what's healthy and loving for Emma.
That's so good. You know, you see that blended family dynamic, right? And so that's its own stress and its own reality. And so those are great, great suggestions. Thank you. Kayla, same question for you.
Yeah, so the fact that I'm a mother comes after me being a wife. I'm a mother because I married my husband. First and foremost, I am a wife. Anything that happens between me and my husband stays between me and my husband. I do not bring the children into the fights. I don't confide in them. It is not their burden. It's for me and my husband to work out. He needs to see us as a united front for our sake, for his sake, so he knows what to expect and how to treat his wife and how he should be treated by his wife when both of my boys get married. We are the first example for him. And some of the practical ways in which we prioritize our marriage is those that play together stay together. So we try to do things that we're both interested in. When we first got married, that was mostly video games. As we've grown, gotten older, had less time, right now it's listening to books and watching movies. And just as time changes, there's different rhythms to life, and you have to adjust to those rhythms. We've found that so long as we have something that we're doing together consistently, even if we don't have time to go on dates all that often, just doing things together, being on the same page, having moments to sit and talk, having time to enjoy something together has made all the difference for us.
So good.
Yeah, that's good. You know, so for our experience, we were about 7 years into marriage, and we went on this marriage retreat, and it was an aha moment for us. We're sitting across from these table couples, and they ask us, do y'all get out very often? And I looked at her, I'm like, it's been 7 years. We've never taken a weekend together. Because it was all about the kids. I mean, we were married, and within the first year, we had a kid. We had our son. And so we had made our life all about work, all about kids. And we had not taken the time as a couple, which probably led to a lot of our marital issues. We did not take that time as a couple to really just connect and to be husband and wife. It was, hey, we're mom and dad, or we're workmate, you know, or we work. And so I would just tell you, there's going to be a day when your kids grow up and they're going to leave the house. And you're going to have that moment where you either look at your spouse and say, boy, I'm glad those kids are gone, right? We can have some fun together. Or who is this person I'm standing and staring next to? I don't know this person, because your life was all about the kids. Your life was all about work. And so take the time now, like these ladies were saying, to make a point. Men, tell your wife, let's plan our vacation together. Let's put it on the calendar. We're going to take a weekend away. We're going to take a day away. If you can, take a whole week away without the kids every once in a while. They're going to be okay, right? They need a healthy mom and dad that love each other. And so you have to make that a priority. And we did not in our first part of our marriage, and it cost us. And so if I could give you any wisdom, we both gave you wisdom, is make that time essential. Make that time a priority to spend time with your spouse. Such good questions. All right, Debbie. Yep.
So
Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So how important has biblical community been in your motherhood journey? And I'm going to start with you, Karen.
So Brian and I will be fostering soon. And so with that, that comes with a lot of needs, I guess. And so within the community aspect of that, like Pastor Neil said, right, getting away and going on even a weekend is kind of not possible for people who do foster unless you have people who are willing to take care of those kids for overnight. And that's considered respite care. And so having respite care providers, and that's a lot of just training that you have to do. You have to get your background check. You have to even like have your house inspected, so much stuff. And so we currently have two people who are willing to do that, and I'm so thankful for them. One is family, and one is a church friend. And so without those church friends, without those people who are willing to say, hey, I'm willing to like take care of this kid overnight for you so that you and Brian can go and have those times together, is so important for us. And so if you're interested in respite, please come find me. Help is always happy to have, so.
That's so good, so good. Jessica, what about you? How important has biblical community been in your motherhood journey?
It has been everything. I am so thankful for my community. On days that I'm overwhelmed and ready to give up, or I feel worthless as a mom, they are there to lift up, encourage, and pray for me.
So good.
That is so good, and I completely agree. The church was very instrumental in our family's growth. When we started coming to church here, of course, Neil didn't want to be here as much, you know, but he came around. Yeah. But it was two good, godly families in particular that really kind of took us under their wing, and we spent lots of time at their house. You know, our kids were around the same age, and really kind of grew up under them. We got to see what a godly family looked like, what a godly husband and wife looked like, how to parent children in a godly way, and that was all because of the church biblical community. So, yeah, we were very thankful for that.
That's so good, because it was these two people that took us. I'm very introverted by nature, so it's like, if you don't invite me, I'm not coming, right? And they invited us into their family, and they treated our kids like family. They treated us like family. And so I would tell you, as someone with kids, if you have kids, like, invite other people with kids into your house, right? And because there's things that you have that you can share with people, and there's things they have that they can share with you. And so I would just say, take the chance, build relationships, and the church is a great place to build relationships, because at least you have Jesus in common, yes. Right? Now, I don't know if you have to go through all the respite care. Maybe you need to do that, right? It's like, give me all your references and a background check, fingerprints, right? But again, the people you put around your circle are going to be a support. And the church is a great place for that. So great question.
So good. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So how do you fight the pressure to be a perfect mom instead walking God's grace, Lucy?
I joke that even though I want to be a perfect mom, my kids won't let me be a perfect mom because they're always trying me. And having children is extremely humbling. You cannot control as much as you would love to or think you would want to. But I think it's critical that we remember as moms and dads that the Lord is parenting us as he's parenting our children, and that we're not like arrived and ready and now we get to raise a human because we've got it all figured out, but that he's using them to refine us, to bless us, to show us things about ourselves. So many laughs and wonderful times, but also like if you have that wrong perspective, you will parent out of fear, control, pride. I think adding to that would be you cannot let your children be your identity as a mom. And a mom is, I mean, the calling of motherhood is just glorified a lot in our culture, and it's a beautiful thing. So it's rightfully so that it's honored. But if it gets put above just your identity in Christ, oh my goodness, your lens is skewed. You do want to perform, and you won't be able to love your children the way that you are called to because you're trying to have them do something for you. And so, yeah, having your identity sealed in Christ, allowing him to be the hero of the story, both yours and your children's. And then, I mean, watch and see what he does. It's just so, so beautiful.
So good. Thank you. So, Miss Ellie, same question. How do you fight that pressure to be the perfect mom and instead walk in God's grace?
I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And life is not going to be perfect. It has its ups, it has its downs, and sometimes it can be totally overwhelming. But even during those times, if you've given your life to the Lord, He is with you in those down times and the up times. And saying things like, I can't do this, or this is just so hard, we can create dangerous chaos in our own minds with thoughts like that. So I would suggest what I've done is to reach out to others. You're in the perfect place here. You're surrounded by people who care about you and by people that have a lot to share with you. And they'll be willing to pray with you or counsel with you about things and regain that peace that Jesus has already given us. Regain that instead of being in chaos.
Yes, that is so good and so true. And I think it goes back to the community. That's why it's so good to have other women around you, because I bet you can go to any woman with, you know, what you consider a mom fail, and they'll be like, oh, girl, I got something better than that, you know? So, you know, that's what's so good about having that community.
No perfect parents. Right. Only God is, right? Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 6 says, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I've given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. And so this question has to do with discipleship and discipling your kids. So how do you practically disciple your children in everyday life like the scripture says? So Rachel, how do you disciple your children?
So first of all, model more than you teach. Kids will absorb what you live more than what you say. You have to let them see you reading your Bibles, apologizing when messing up, and trusting God in those stressful moments. Quiet modeling is often the loudest discipleship. And then create simple rhythms, not rigid routines. It doesn't have to be a long or complicated to be meaningful. A short prayer before school. So sometimes when Ash is like really nervous about a test or whatever, we'll say really quick prayer before she steps out of the car. A verse at bedtime or praying over her before we go to bed. Worship music in the car to just kind of calm the atmosphere. Small repeated habits will stick. And then invite them into your faith. Don't just instruct them. Instead of only telling them what you believe, help them to experience it. What do you think God is teaching you? How can we pray for your friend or the situation that you're currently in? It just builds ownership instead of obligation.
It's good. It's really good. Kayla, same question. How do you...
Again,
they're little.
Monkey see, monkey do. Yeah. Your children are going to look at what you're doing, and they're going to use that as their framework and their foundation. Modeling behavior is the best way to teach your kids how to do something. And you can't train what you haven't been taught to do. Train your children up in the way that they should go, and they shall not depart from it. Training is not passive, it's active. I've had to learn to walk in the way that I want my children to walk. I can't train them in something that I don't intimately know. I must have a relationship with the Lord before I can expect my children to have a relationship with Him. I must act according to Christ's will in order for my children to even think about maybe going in that direction. What I do is what they will do. I have to do it myself before I can expect it of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Karen, here's a question for you. You were a youth pastor for a long time, and so what would you tell parents? And you're about to be a foster parent, so how are you going to disciple these foster kids?
Yeah. So just like they said, right, you do what your parents do. And so I'm like, my plan is to do what my parents did with me. And so as parents right now, what you do with your kids and how you disciple them is how they're going to likely disciple their kids. And so pay attention to what you're doing. Set that bar high, right? So my parents, we prayed
at night together. That was pretty often, as much as we could. We had a family prayer night every night. And then we did a lot of devotionals together as a family. And then we always went to church. That was like, you know, a no-brainer. We were going to be at church. And we would joke, like, even if we're yelling at each other in the car, we're going to church. So, but really, like, what... it matters that you do those things, but really the church does not disciple. You are going to have so much more time with your kids than the church does. And so, yeah, take them to church, but don't expect the church to disciple your kids.
That's so good, because the world's going to disciple your kids. If you don't, Satan will. And so you have to take the advantage and you have to take the lead to disciple your kids. And like these ladies said, you got to do it out of your own walk of faith. Kids see you live your life. And I think as far as we go, we've tried to live the same life at church as we did at home. We didn't live a double life. And many people have experienced that. Like their parents would be one way at church and then another way at home. And I would tell you, if you're in that mode right now, just be rotten at church too, right? That way you can straighten it out. Because we don't want to live this double life. We don't want our kids to say, yeah, mom and dad had a faith, but it was fake. You know, they were one way at church, one way in public, but at home, they were rough and mean and bitter. We want to make sure that we are the same wherever we go. And so we've tried to do that, just try to make Jesus central. I remember when our kids were little, we'd listen to KLTY and drop them off at school and pray for them before they went to school every day. And that's just some of those memories that we have. So, yeah.
So Colossians 3:13 states, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So how do you model repentance and forgiveness in your home? And Ellie, I'd like to start with you.
Well, actually, I'm still working on this quite a bit. But one thing I know, I could have saved our family a lot of grief when my kids were teenagers if I would have known more about forgiveness and repentance. But, I mean, their brains weren't even fully developed, but I was expecting way too much from them. And now that they're adults, I value having a relationship with them, having a consistent relationship with them and working on that. I've learned I don't have to put my two cents in about everything, that a lot of times if I would just listen, watch and pray, it would be much better. And that's all I have on that.
So good, so good. Lucy, what about you?
I just want to say that's really rich, because it's never too late to start. And I mean, I know older young adult people that I've talked with, and their parents still refuse to repent of things and change ways. So the hardest part about modeling repentance is that you have to model it. So it starts with you. I think as a mom, I've felt like for me to have great influence on my kids, I kind of need them to think that I have it all together and that I have the answers and that I don't mess up so that they'll trust what I say. And I have learned that the doorway to really significant influence is trust. And so if your kids do not trust you, would you want to listen to something someone's telling you to do with your life if you don't trust their heart toward you? So when our kids were little, this was hard. I didn't realize how much I needed to apologize for until I started apologizing. But it is such accountability. Like, repentance means there can be change. And so if I lost it or did something that embarrassed them, I would, instead of just brushing it off and thinking, like, that's fine, it's okay, I don't want them to think that that's fine and that that's okay. So I would tell them I was sorry. And I made a very courageous decision to ask them how I affected them, which is really humbling. You know, when you did that, it made me feel this. But God is bigger than that. And he is glorified in redemption. And we give space for redemption when we apologize. And so also with Avery, my husband, like having to model, I'm sorry I said that way, you did not deserve that, in front of the kids, which is just like, ugh. But it made me want to behave better because I didn't want to have to apologize later.
There you go.
But anyways, the fact that the Lord is able to take, like, I think he's glorified more in repentance and redemption than he is in us just having it polished and all together. And the way he builds bonds through that and trust and then influence, and it's just the way he does things. And it's like, wow, he is amazing.
I absolutely agree. And this question was very hard for me because we did not do the right things always as parents, and especially before we were coming to church and everything. So I always like to tell Justin and I grew up together because he was our first, and, you know, just trying to, you know, keep him alive. So, but
he's alive.
So, and, you know, as they became older, because there was times I was really tough on them, and, you know, and the Lord's, he's forgiven me for that, and I've learned from that. And so when they were older, I've told him before, I've told all of them, you know, I'm sorry what I didn't know. I'm sorry I didn't always do the right thing, you know, in raising you. And they are so gracious, and that's just a product of God's grace as well, because they're like, Justin likes to joke, Mom, I'm fine. You know, you know, you're good. You know, I'm not homeless or anything. So, you know, so we joke, we're a joking family, you know, so we joke about it. But, you know, I had to come to that realization, God's forgiven me. I need to go to them and ask for forgiveness. And our kids are so gracious in how they are. But not only modeling it with the kids, but then them seeing, like you said, with the husband, you know, modeling, you know, it's okay. We're still working on that
one. We are.
So, but also modeling forgiveness, yeah, you know, in jobs, because they know you come home from work and there might be things for those of us that work outside the home, you know, there might be things that I have to forgive a coworker or a boss for, you know, and to model that in front of them too, because one day they're going to go in the workforce and they're going to have to probably forgive and things like that. So,
yeah, that's so true. And, you know, forgiveness is a hard thing and repentance is a hard thing, because often we just want to say we're sorry, but not change. But repentance is change. And so it's one thing to do it wrong. It's another thing to continue. And so I would just say, like, you're not going to get it right all the time. You're going to have mistakes because we're all human. We all have emotions and we all operate out of those things. But our kids need to see that we're not so big that we can't be checked. Because how are they going to respect you as a person when they get older if they don't see someone as, like, I can mess up, but I know there's grace. And so make your house a house of grace. That's the best advice I can give you in that. So Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, right? Easy verse, hard to do. How do you trust when you're worried about your child's future? Jessica, how do you trust when you're worried about your child's future?
So someone once told me, well, first off, let me back up. So I used to think that my kids had to be perfect, even though I'm not, but I really, all the time, and I would get extra angry at them when they would mess up. So someone once told me, if I don't let my kids make a mess, how is God going to make their mess into a testimony? And in those times, I remember all that God has brought me through, and I trust in him and the grace that he has shown me.
That's good. It's really good. Cassie, same question.
So I took this from a perspective because some of you know Emma has a very extensive medical history. And so as a parent, to watch your child go through that, it brings a lot of stress and worry, mm-hmm, and just unknown. And so I just, it goes back to the community. I have a community of friends that's always there to lift us up in prayer. They're praying over Emma, constantly, you know, checking in, how's Emma doing, like, after. And just for me, and just as all I can do is pray, because I know she's a gift from God. He ultimately loves them more than we can. And so it's just putting that, you gave her to me, you love her. more than I could ever, so I'm trusting you to take care of my baby because I can't fix it. And she has a lot of stress and anxieties too, and so all I can do is model for her, like, we're going to pray and trust in God to take care of this. And so it's just instilling that to her too, like, I need to put all of my fears and worries in his hands as well. So that's how.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that, I think trusting the Lord with your kids is hard, you know, but again, we went through some hard times with our kids when they were going to college because they're out of the house. You think it would be easier when your kids are grown. Like, it's harder as a parent because you can't physically do anything about it. And so, you know, our kids were going to college. They're having a hard time just trying to find their place. And, you know, there was times they would call us and we'd look at each other. I was like, we're just going to go get them right now, you know. But we had to trust the Lord in that situation and give our kids to the Lord. We had a woman of God that we confided in, and she said, God loves your kids more than you do. And God has a plan for them. You need to let God deal with it. Yeah. And so we did. I remember that time we grabbed hands and we just prayed, like, Lord, these are your kids. You're gonna have to fix this because we can't. And I'm telling you, like, where our kids are now is because we said, okay, God, because we gave them to the Lord. And I think if we would have tried to fix it, it would have been worse. And so we had to let the Lord deal with it. And that's the prayer. Like, we just prayed a lot. We still pray a lot for our kids. But just prayed a lot during those times to say, God, it's yours. You're going to have to handle it. And so those are great, great answers. Thank you.
So good. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In seasons where you feel stretched thin, how do you remind yourself of your calling as a mom? Rachel, start with you.
So to me, Galatians 6:9 is a very grounding reminder, because motherhood often feels like a constant outpouring with little immediate return. In seasons where I feel stretched thin, I remind myself that my calling isn't measured by visible results, but by faithfulness. The late nights, the repetition, the unseen sacrifices, those are seeds, not wasted effort. I come back to the truth that God entrusted these children to me on purpose. And even when I feel weary, he is producing something eternal through my consistency, my love, and my obedience. Sometimes it's as simple as just a quiet prayer. Lord, just help me not give up today. And trusting that even in the mundane, he is growing a harvest I may not fully see yet, but also knowing that one day there will be a harvest in getting to witness those moments of harvest. They make it all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Ellie, what about you?
Well, God shows us that we are stronger than we think we are. And he's our greatest support when we're going through those times of not knowing what to do or thinking, you know, we don't have enough strength to carry on. But I think back to what Pastor Karen taught us about the importance of rest. Yes. And our society really doesn't value rest all that much. But she taught us that we need to, you know, to strategically plan for rest and to be able to get recharged and our minds renewed is important. And sometimes a nap is just as effective as another cup of Starbucks.
Yeah, nothing a good nap and some food can't fix for most of the time. Yeah, especially when parenting, right? So last question, and we have enough time. We're just going to go quickly. What scripture have y'all clung on to the most while in your parenting journey? So I'm going to start with Kayla since you're over there.
So for me, it's been James 1, 2 through 4, and I'll go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, don't have it fully memorized. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. from an outside perspective, why would anyone count loss? And fighting is not the correct word, but discord, there we go. Why would anyone count loss and discord within the family as joy? Almost 2 years ago, my husband and I very suddenly lost twins, went into labor at 20 weeks pregnant. I was just sitting on my bed doing homework, and my water broke out of nowhere. Rushed to the hospital. 26 hours later, they were gone. How do you count something like that as joy? There are things I know now. There's an encouragement that I've been given, that I will see them again, that I am now able to give to other mothers, to other fathers, that I wouldn't have been able to give before. You're not alone. I know it's not talked about a whole lot. Loss of a child, loss of children is hush, hush. It doesn't have to be. You're not alone. The Lord has you. He was with you in the room. He's still with you today.
Amen.
He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows you'll see your babies again. Yeah. There is a joy in my loss, being able to share encouragement. And there's also a joy in... Some of you may not understand fully what that loss feels like, and I hope you never, ever, ever have to fully understand it. Yeah. And it brings me great joy that you don't understand it. But also, even in raising my 4-year-old, he's very stubborn, very hard-headed. He hangs on to his emotions and what he wants because he's a 4-year-old. He wants what he wants, and he doesn't understand that sometimes what he wants isn't good for him. And so there's been a lot of, nope, sorry, you can't have that right now. This is not, like, TV time has not been good for you. You're too overwhelmed. You're not ready for this yet. You're not ready for this much screen time, so we have to take it away. And the fighting over it. How do you count the tears and the anger and the joy and the frustration on, or the tears and the anger and the frustration on both sides? How do you count it as joy? You're training them up to be adults. You're not raising children, you're raising adults. That's something that my mother-in-law taught me, that she learned. I believe I'm looking at my husband from her mother-in-law, correct? You're not raising children, you're raising adults. Count it as joy. Having to teach them those hard things when they're young and when they're malleable and when they're easily shapeable and when the consequences are just, sorry, you can't have your tablet right now, and not, you are losing, you're going to lose your home, or you're going to lose your job. The consequences are easier when they're smaller, even though it doesn't always feel like it. So count it all joy that you're fighting those battles with a 4-year-old and not letting your adult child learn those consequences when they're an adult.
That's gold, Kayla. Thank you. That's so good. Yeah, and for mom who has loss, we love you. Even if you have had an abortion, we love you. There's grace, and there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And so there is joy even in loss. Thank you for sharing that, Kayla. Lucy.
As someone who has encountered and fallen in love with Jesus, you, as a dad, as a mom, you know that your greatest joy is to just see others, your children, come to know Jesus. Like, that is our greatest calling. Not a good school, not that they're happy, not that they're whatever. It's that they know Jesus. And my verse, I actually cheated, I have two. But this was after Paul had planted this church, and then he was in prison. So talk about not being able to be there to make sure. Like, when your kids are in college, you don't know. When they go to school, you don't know. When they have friends, there's just a lot we don't get to know, just even in the quietness of their own heart. So Paul wrote these words in his letter to them when he was sent to prison very quickly after he had planted this church. And he said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I love that, until the day of Christ Jesus, because that means we're being perfected up until that day. So it's not like, when are you going to get it? Till the day of Christ Jesus. Like, that is when all things will be brought. And then my second verse, which goes along with this, is Isaiah 54:13. And it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And that word peace is shalom, which is like that wholeness, completeness, perfect, perfection. Like, what more could we ask for? And it's because we are taught by the Lord himself.
That's good. Jessica?
My scripture is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But this is a scripture that I cling to whenever I feel like a failure of a mom or worthless or like I'm not doing my job right.
That's good. Cassie, real quick.
Hey, my first one is Psalms 127:3. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord and are a reward from him. And this one, so those of you that don't know, when I was in my 20s, I had some medical issues and was told that I wouldn't ever be able to have children. And so when there's hard times, like with Emma, like raising, having a bonus baby, I just go back to that and remind myself that he chose me to be another mom, as another influence and someone in her life. So I just really look, if I feel like I'm not doing enough or not good enough, I remember that she is a reward and he chose me and was given to me. And also I have 3 John 1:4, and it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are living according to the truth. And I cling to that just when I'm still having hard times, to know that that's my ultimate goal, is to have my child grow up and be following and living in his truth. So when she gets upset because she doesn't like that she got in trouble for something or anything, I just keep that, like, I am trying to work to get her to where she knows to follow and live in his word.
Very good. Ellie?
My verse is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And my verse is Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil.
So mine is Isaiah 40:28-31. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Isaiah 40:31 reminds us that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Motherhood is filled with late nights, sick kids, cooking, cleaning, and school projects. Often a thankless and exhausting calling, but he meets us there with fresh strength each day, even when you feel weary and unseen. God lifts you up like wings or eagles on the wind, sustaining you with the endurance, the grace, and the love you need to keep going.
Amen.
So good. And mine's Psalm 46:10. Just be still and know that I am God. So just being still in those moments of chaos or moments of like, I can't do this, because there's been times where I've done that. But, you know, just knowing that God's got you, just be still. Rest in his presence. Just rest in him, knowing that he's got this all under control.
And he truly does. Parents, moms, there's no perfect mom up here. And men,
you don't know exactly all your wife carries. There's a scripture that says, men, treat your wife with all understanding because she's the weaker vessel. We don't carry things like they do. I don't carry her work, but she carries mine. You know, I don't carry my kids' stuff so much, like it bothers me, but she carries all of it. And so, men, you need to understand that your wife carries things that you don't really realize that she's carrying. And so you need to, as a man, come up underneath her and help her to carry those things. And moms, again, it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay not to have it all together. Don't look to Instagram. Don't look to TikTok. Don't look to social media to use that as a litmus test of how you're doing as a mom. And don't look to your mom as how you're doing to a mom. God created you the way you are, and you just come up under him and submit to him, and he's going to help you in that journey. Amen? Yes. I want you to go and stand. Here's what we're going to do is we're going to close. I'm just going to pray for you, bless you, and there's some gifts on the way out, but these moms are going to be at the front of the platform here. And if you need prayer for anything, maybe you're going through something, maybe you've had a loss, maybe you just need encouragement as a mom and their story stuck out to you, they want to pray with you, they want to help you. There's something about having a mom who's been through it. And even if you're a parent, mom and dad, and you're having a hard time with your kids, maybe one of these stories stuck out to you, come get prayer by one of them. They want to lift you up, and they want to say, you know what, I've been through the fire, and you're going to be okay. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for these women today. Thank you for moms. Thank you for families. God, thank you for the opportunity and just the pleasure of being a parent. And God, I pray that as people leave out today, God, that you touch their lives, that you encourage them and you give them faith. God, I pray that they rise up and they do just reach out to their moms today. And God, that they remind them of their love for them and what they've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.